Today, as we look into the scriptures, the overall thing is that God desires to reach out to all peoples. And so, very simply, in the first reading, it talks about, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord and will be brought to the holy mountain. So the scriptures wasn't meant just for the Hebrew people. It's meant for all people. Okay. We pick up a little in the second reading where Paul just comes out and says it. "I'm speaking to you Gentiles. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles." That the word of God was not meant just for the Hebrew people. But this was something that had to unfold. It was already in our first reading. It already came from Isaiah. I guess the apostles missed the memo. Because the Canaanite woman was coming, and they wanted to reject her. You know, we're on R&R. She's pestering us. Let's get rid of her. And Jesus said, "I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But we see very clearly that the word of God is meant to be broadcast to all people. Okay? I'm preaching to the choir on this. But what I'd like to do is to go into the gospel and take a few looks and see what is happening here. Who remembers the gospel from last Sunday? Anybody? Yeah. Peter walking on the water, at least for 5 steps. What did Jesus say? "Oh, ye of little faith." So we have an Israelite here who walks on water for 5 steps, and Jesus says, "You started to sink. You have little faith." But the little faith he had got him out of the boat. And so it's a progressive thing. It's a progressive thing. And then he started to falter when he was looking around his own element. I mean, the guy was a fisherman. He lived on the Sea of Galilee. He lived there. He stayed here overnight. He probably slept on his boat at some times. So he was in his own element. And then when fear came in, it challenged his faith. So the circumstances in his life challenged his faith, and he faltered. Here's this Canaanite woman. It's interesting because when they talk about a Canaanite, it's like calling somebody from Guatemala because they're south of the border, calling them a Mexican. You know, this Canaanite woman comes. And again, here is a Canaanite woman. And what's the Lord say to her? You know, "O woman, great is your faith." He knew what he was going to do. This was a teachable moment for his disciple. He was discipling his disciples. Isn't that something? Jesus wants to disciple us. Brothers of the beloved disciple have to be discipled. We're called to be discipled. And one of the greatest, the first great crises of Christianity, the first great crises of Christianity, was prejudice. And how do we allow Gentiles to come into our community? You know, the early Christians had union with God. They were growing. They had conversion experience. They were working on community. We just heard that this morning. But was it going to be an inclusive or exclusive community? How inclusive are we? How universal is God's message to us? You guys recruit like crazy for tech. Why is it so hard? You know, why? Well, we want to get the word out to everyone. We want to get the word out It's meant for everyone. And this woman understood that. This Canaanite woman understood that. And so she came to Jesus. And she looked at her problems. Her problem, what was her problem? She had a daughter who was tormented by a demon. It didn't say she was possessed. It says she was tormented by a demon. And usually the scriptures make that distinction. If someone is deaf by a demon, Jesus casts a demon out and the person could hear. If somebody is just deaf, then he may put spit in her ears and he's not casting out demons. He's just healing. Okay? I don't know if you know those little distinctions, but we see that. So her daughter was troubled. Her daughter was troubled, not possessed, but troubled. He didn't cast out any demons, did he? He just said, go, your daughter's healed. But I think what we have to see here, a lot like what happens here, or what happens in our own lives, the problems that we have in life, and it could be divorce, it could be financial, it could be anything. We're called to bring those problems to the Lord in faith. That faith has to address the issues of today, the problems in our lives. Because these problems are going to disrupt ourselves and the community around us. Our problems will do that. Here, these apostles are on R&R. Lord, she's bothering us. It's very intrusive to us. She's bringing her problems to us. Just send her away, you know, like she doesn't have any problems. You know, lock, don't answer the door. Here they come again. It's basically what it is. You know, Lord, let's just ignore her. Ignore her. Send her away. Get rid of her. But obviously these problems have an effect upon her. The problem has an effect upon the disciples. The problem has an effect upon Jesus. All of us have problems, you know. We all, in a sense, we all have our own demons. We're not possessed, but we all have our own demons. And we should not allow anyone to keep us from bringing this to the Lord, and our walk to bring them before the Lord has to be a walk of faith. If we just have a little faith, we might take a couple steps in resolving this issue and then pew, sink down. But the Lord's hand is there. Again, it's connecting, having that union with Jesus to take us from that sinking feeling that the woman had, and particularly when she was rejected, I'm sure she had a sinking feeling, but she continued to reach out to Jesus. You know, Lord, you can do it. I know you can. I have faith that you can. And so we look at the issues of our own lives, whatever those issues may be, and just very simply bring them to the Lord. Bring them to the Lord. And see what the Lord wants to do with them. Because the Lord wants to resolve those issues to bring us into greater harmony with God. To be reconciled, brought back into harmony with. That's what reconciliation means. To be brought back in harmony. Conciliation. Reconciliation. And to have that unity and have that oneness. So whether we're walking on the water, whether we're sitting in the boat, or whether we're on the seashore near Tyre and Sidon. I'm sure they were by the Mediterranean Sea because that's where Tyre and Sidon is. They're both port cities on the upper Mediterranean there, in the western end of, or the eastern end of the Mediterranean. And so they went there for some R&R. Look at our own problems. What are the demons in our lives? What are we dealing with? What do we want to bring before Jesus? Disciples, as we become disciples, we become less and less defensive. See, I think we have a tendency to want to protect Jesus. Let's not bother the Lord. And we try to resolve these issues. But in a sense, when we try to resolve them, we're keeping people away from Jesus. You know, the same thing. Let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. Great disciples. We have this Jesus who wants to evangelize everybody, bring everybody into union with the Father. And then you have these 12 dodos around him that they keep people, you know, get the kids away from him. Get this woman away from him. You know, what do? We chase them out of our community, out of our assembly. You're divorced. Out. You had an abortion. Out. We have all kinds of issues that instead of drawing these people in, we kick them out. And Jesus wants to draw everyone in. Everyone. The poor, the crippled, the lame, in prison. He tells us that at the end of Matthew's gospel. That's the end of the story. This is what a disciple should look like. You know, so at the beginning here, we have St. Matthew, and Matthew talks about now, this is what the kingdom of God's supposed to look like. And we go through this disciple, and we look at those disciples, and they are transitioning little by little. It's a conversion experience for them. It's a conversion experience. Even Peter, after he received the Spirit and began preaching, kind of slid back a little. And Paul said, hey, you can't not eat with these Gentiles. You know, you act like a Gentile, or you act like one of us, but then when the hobnobs with the miters come from Jerusalem, then you withdraw from table. You can't do that. That's not right. You can't withdraw from that. We're called into a unity and a oneness, and our unity and oneness is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul was arguing with. I mean, it had to be an inclusive community. And whether we're looking at Romans today or Galatians, you know, don't go back into that. You know, religion can bind us up. We can be so bound by religion that we don't have the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And we're called to have the freedom of the sons and daughters of God and not be bound by religion. One of the hardest demons to expel is a demon of religiosity. That is very difficult. And it's one of the hardest ones to identify because people talk in religious terms. You know, and they have all the right words. But there's such a bondage there. There's such an uptightness there. And Jesus wants to eradicate that from us so that the freedom of the Spirit of God can move through us and touch hearts and change lives. And so it's kind of neat to look not just at Jesus, but how the disciples are reacting. I like the story in John's Gospel when they're on the way from Galilee down to Jerusalem and they pass through Samaritan territory. And the Samaritans don't want them to go through because they're on the way to Jerusalem. And the beloved disciple, well, let's call down fire and just zap them out. That's pretty inclusive, huh? Jesus says, no, let's just walk around it. And that's where they were at the time. That's where they were at the time. But they continue to grow. And we as disciples continue to grow. We have to be okay with where we are, but no, that's not where the Lord wants to keep us. There's ongoing and continual conversion. Another way of saying that is walking deeper in the heart of God. And the deeper we get into the heart of God, the more all of these walls start breaking down. And the more freedom we will have. And so, It's looking at where we are right now and celebrating that, but not staying there. Know that we're called to go deeper into that life, that we'll always be discipled, but we always have to be open to be teachable and discipled, pliable in the hands of a loving Spirit who will teach us everything that we need to know. Father Bob gave a great teaching weekend. But the Scriptures makes it very clear that it's the Spirit who teaches us, and we have to take his subject matter, and I bet if everybody wrote a report, it would be different. And it may or may not be what he said. Because it's the Spirit that will teach us, and we'll take that and integrate that into our various circumstances and situations. And yours is different than mine. Where I am, you know, it's different. It's different. And so when we apply those religious truths of being discipled, how we apply them to ourselves will say where we are. And sometimes we have to be patient with ourselves. And Paul, that's why Paul would say we have to correct and rebuke one another. It wasn't a put-down. Too many people think that disciplining somebody means punishment. It doesn't. It means to disciple someone. It means that there can be a correction. I don't think a second grade teacher is doing any favor to their students if they don't correct a paper and let them know that 1 and 1 is 7. You know, that's not a favor. But to discipline or disciple a child, to form them, huh? We've got to be formed in the ways of our faith. We say that at our baptism. Huh? It's your responsibility to form your children in the ways of faith. And so many times we resolve issues, but it's not in a faith way. I can resolve any issue if we have issues. How? I can call down fire, pull out a 45. You're not going to argue with me anymore. We're not at odds anymore. But that's not the resolution that the Lord wants. The resolution of faith was to be drawn into a union with God so that that love may emanate among us and saturate us so that we can allow that to cause us as a cause of growth. And then we have more, in that sense, of a capacity of the Spirit to reach out in God's love and take the next step. But we have to keep focused on Jesus, and it has to be a walk of faith. How do we apply our faith to the circumstances and situations in which we find ourselves?